be here. I do move around a little bit, so I just need to be careful that it gets picked up. So if I start to move and it's not working, just give me a shout and I'll come back. So it's interesting. Andy, I just connected with Andy on, I think it was Wednesday morning. I was driving into Wickford, and I was just trying to confirm that I was still due to be here, and what time it started, because I had it in my diary, but sometimes my diary doesn't always work. Particularly my wife tells me that she thinks I'd put things in the diary without telling her. So Andy just said, you know, he said, Rob, I just feel that your talk that you're going to bring on Sunday is going to be significant for TCF. And I thought, oh, that's a... I didn't say anything to Andy, but I thought, no pressure. And then on Thursday morning, once a month on a Thursday morning, I go to a place called Jaywick and prayer walk with the church leaders there, members of the churches there. We just walk around and pray. And this week it was just me and another guy. And he started to talk about, just randomly, new wine and new wineskins. And something in me just thought, okay, I feel that might be something that's applicable for here. So that's it. When I'm relaxed, I feel that I'm quite open to picking up prophetic stuff from God. So when you lead a church sometimes, and you know, you come and speak and stuff like that, you tend to get into a different kind of mode. So there's a lot of things, messages that I've got that I carry, but I just said to God, I just want to be available for what TCF needs to hear. So that's just to put a little bit of context in for you guys, trying to respond to what Andy said. You know, we hear God for different things, and it's really interesting when someone says to you, and I think you're going to bring a word that's significant, you want to hear that. You don't, I just don't want to, I've got my pet messages. So I hope that's okay, guys. So then my next journey is, so I started to look at wineskins, and I'm not an expert on wineskins. I have bottles of wine at home, not wineskins of wine. My wife drinks wine, I don't, so I'm not an expert, but I do understand that the older the wine, generally the better it is, if you're a wine connoisseur. So where I live in North Essex, there's a wine sort of, like, I think he's a shipper of wine, but he's also got a little wine, loads of wine. And I walked in there because every Christmas we buy wine for our neighbours and people that, you know, we just like to be generous. And I walked into this wine sort of like a shed, really, and he's got it all stacked out with wines and port. And every time I go in there, there's this dusty old bottle on the top shelf. And it's a bottle of wine that goes back to about 1963, something like that. And it's the price is priced accordingly. I think he's added it up. Every year that it's been in existence, he's probably put the price of what it started. So it's quite an expensive bottle of wine. And I think it's 63 because it's the year of my wife's birth. And I'm always nervous that she says, shall we buy this bottle of wine? And secondly, once I've bought a really expensive bottle of wine, would I open it? Because it's, you know, you only drink it once, don't you? And so I understand that wine gets better with age. And then the piece of scripture that we're going to look at, which is Luke 5, 33-39, I'm not sure that what Jesus is saying is that the old wine is the best. So it's quite interesting. That kind of threw me a little bit as I was reading, because I guess if you're a wine seller, the older the wine, the better it is. And yet here, Jesus kind of says something a little bit different. So, and it's done in the context of he's obviously starting to move out in his ministry. He's starting to declare who he is, and immediately you do that. The moment that you start to move in your identity of who God says you are, my experience over the last few years is you get a lot of criticism. That's the first thing I've noticed, is if you try and live out as God wants you to live, you get criticized, and people say things that you've said. They question your authenticity. And I guess my confidence for myself with this journey I've been on over the last few years, the confidence that I get is that what I said it of Jesus. So there's a confidence that comes from that. A few months ago, I was having a bit of a torrid time, and God didn't kind of show up when I thought he should have shown up. And, you know, I was thinking, God, I'm doing this for you, but, you know, nothing seems to be working. And I was working in my garden room, my office. I was just working, and my wife called me in for something. And as I was walking from the garden room into the house, the Lord just spoke to me, said, they said it of Jesus. They persecuted Jesus. So if you want to live for my son, you must be prepared to be persecuted. And this story is done in that context. They said to him, so this is the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious, they said to Jesus, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. I want to just pause here. I looked in a commentary to find the context. Is there any context of the bridegroom? And the commentaries that I had didn't refer to this, to the bridegroom. But I believe there's something quite significant here. When Jesus says the bridegroom, he's actually saying something quite prophetic about himself. And, you know, we are the bride of Christ. And anyone that walks around Rob will know that I often say this, there is only one bride. There is only one global church. God doesn't look down and see TCF. He doesn't look down and see New Life Church, Crouch Valley. He sees his bride, and we're being prepared to meet our bridegroom. Now, for men, that's difficult, isn't it? You know, we've never been a bride. I shouldn't imagine. Has any man here been a bride who's married? No. Most of us have been bridegrooms. And you know that moment, don't you? Those of you that experienced it, you stand at the front with your best man, and you're trying to look all nice, and then the bride turns up, and you haven't seen her in a dress, and when the organ starts to play that famous tune nowadays they play different types of music, but mine was Here Comes the Bride. That ages me, I think. And you know, you'd turn round and you'd see the love of your life walking down, and I'm not talking about a father. You're talking about the bride, your bride, and they walk down. I've never been at a wedding where the bridegroom stops it and says, hey, that dress isn't quite good enough. Your hair's rubbish. Your shoes need put. I've never been at a wedding where that happens. So mainly the bridegroom looks at the bride with wonder, with wow. And, you know, I believe there's something quite significant in this text about the bridegroom. And Jesus is talking about being the bridegroom. And the Pharisees are asking the questions. They're saying, you know, look, John's disciples, they fast, and your disciples, they're just drinking and eating and doing all things and that they shouldn't be doing. And he turns around and he says, well, when the bridegroom's here, basically he's saying you celebrate. So this is a context, and a little bit later we'll look at Isaiah 61 and 62, because I think Jesus, in those texts, there's reference to bridegroom. I think there's something quite significant here that would have got the Pharisees and Sadducees a little bit more angry. But the text goes on. So he told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new garment will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says, the old is better. And in this context, I think Jesus is talking here about a new wineskin. So he's not saying here, the old is better. So we need to be careful. If you're a wine connoisseur here, you just need to perhaps change your thoughts a little bit. He's not saying buy the 500 pound bottle of wine. There's wine on the shelf that is better. It's new wine. He's prophetically talking about himself. And one of the things that I have been thinking and just praying as I've been since I was in Jaywick on Thursday, is most of us, and I know that this TCF, I was a 23-year-old young man. I come to TCF training with Peter Butt and a guy called John Iverson, and you know, the place was full, and I can't remember what the course was, but it was every other Wednesday night. It was a leadership training program. And Peter Butt, who's a good friend of mine, he stood here, and I think it was about here, and I was probably sat over there or at the back there, because it was about 200 guys at this course, all wanting to be leaders. Peter Butt said, I want to ask you, what version of the Bible do you read? And my friend and I, we were talking, because we were from Wickford, and Thurrock was a long way in those days. It seemed like we'd travelled for hours, but we hadn't, and it was dark and dingy, and we drove. And when we got here, we were a bit nervous because we didn't know anybody. And Peter Butt was, you know, quite an intimidating guy sometimes, and particularly when he preached. I mean, he chatted. I remember we got, I don't know his position now, but I remember we got to women in leadership, and Peter had a strong opinion about that at the time. And, you know, I thought, ooh, because the church I come from, we didn't have a problem with women leaders, but clearly that wasn't quite what was said. And Peter then got up and he said, so what version of the Bible do you read? And I said to my friend, I said, well, I read the RSV. And my friend said, oh, I don't, I read the Good News. So Pete then decides, he comes out from behind the pulpit and he says, right, now I want to hear, what version of the Bible do you guys read? And so who reads the New International Version? Now I guess at TCF, that was probably the version that you were reading at the time. So most of the hands went up. And then the next question was, so those of you that have not got your hands up, what version of the Bible do you read? So I said, I read the RSV. And Pete said to me, he said, well, you need to change the version that you're reading. You know, he was that kind of, I'm probably adding a little bit of spice to the story. But basically, Peter was trying to say, if you're going to read a version, read the New International Version. And so then he turned around and said, I don't suppose there's anybody here that reads the Good News Version, because we've all moved on from that kind of thing. And I looked at my mate and he didn't put his hand up. I was so angry. I was thinking, you coward. And this place, TCF, was a centre. People travelled to come here. We travelled because there was something dynamic going on in TCF. I remember you had a bookshop. I remember he had this bookshop and it was stacked with books. Now, I'm not saying we should go back to bookshops in churches, although I do think it's good to read books. I like to hold mine. I don't like this Kindle nonsense. I've tried and it don't work for me. But that's my age. My daughters say, "Oh, Dad, why are you buying books? You can get it off of Kindle." And I'm thinking, I like the old stuff. You know, I like to hold this in church. It frustrates me when I look at the younger generation and they've got their little phone out and they're, you know, are they listening to this? Are they reading scripture? Are they on Facebook or Instagram? And, you know, who knows? But when you hold this, you know that you're reading scripture. Young people, get back to this. You know, us oldies, we love the old stuff. The way it was done before. And I just sense in my spirit for you guys, because of the TCF in probably what was then its heyday, there's a thing for some of you guys here who look back and think, wouldn't it be great to be back there, to see that happening again? And I just felt God wanted to say to you, that's not his plan for you. So you may never ask me to come back again, but that's okay. I don't believe that God is looking for you to go back to the old. And I believe that there's something new for you. I don't say this very often because I have to be careful, but I think there was something in the charismatic movement in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, and 70s in the United Kingdom, when people started to meet in homes, small gatherings. I'm dating myself here, but we used to call it the yellow and blue book of songs of fellowship. The yellow one come first, and then they brought out another version called the blue one. And you know, it'd be 154 in the blue, and we all knew what that was. But there were small intimate gatherings, and everybody came and brought something and shared something. Yes, there was mothers and fathers or leaders who would direct you, but there was a freshness that came. And you know, then obviously the charismatic movement started to grow and we started to get bigger and more people were coming and our front rooms were big enough. So we kind of went back to the patterns of the past where, you know, there were cathedrals built. But in the process, I really believe that we've lost something. One of my nervousnesses of the church I lead is that we don't want to build a consumer environment where people just come and consume. Because the gospel changes you. I did a Bible study, I really enjoyed it. One of my friends leads Believers in Recovery in Essex, and he invited me to do a Bible study with a load of addicts. And we just looked at the text, and they could ask questions anytime. And it was an absolutely fantastic moment. And if people come to me and say, "What's the best thing you've done in 2023? Sorry, the best thing I've done is I had an hour and a half with some recovering addicts. And we looked at scripture, and we wrestled together, and we asked the question, and you know, just to deal with, is Judas in heaven? That came out of that Bible study. I'm just throwing it out there because they wanted an answer. So Rob, is Judas in heaven? And I was thinking, I need to be careful what I say here. Is Judas in heaven? Who? I just throw that out there, nothing to do with my talk. But the thing is, as you start to break into something new, you have to be willing to let go of the old. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking to his disciples, he's talking to his followers, but here also he's talking to the religious, the people who think they know
what God wants to do. Have you met any of those? I've got lots of friends. They know exactly what God wants to do. It's six songs on a Sunday. We have a little bit of ministry time. We do some good news stories. There's no criticism of what we've done this morning. And then we have a preach and we all go home. I want to suggest that perhaps the charismatic movement, us, we need to think, does God only work in that kind of paradigm every time we meet? I think the answer is no. What God is looking for is for us to encounter him. And it just doesn't happen at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, or for you guys, 10:30. God wants you to encounter him. And this is what he's doing here. He's talking about the new wine. And in order for you to know that God is wanting us to encounter him, I would say everything comes out of his presence. God is continually speaking. And you know, a few, 6 to 8 months, maybe a year, so as you get older, life seems to go quicker, doesn't it? It always seems to be Christmas. That's what I feel. It's Christmas and the New Year. But I think it was in 2022, I'd had a particularly difficult time when we did an event somewhere, and I got a lot of flack. And I was walking through the village where I live about 6:30 in the morning, and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit really loudly. No one else heard it, but I could hear it. He said, "Rob, I'm not looking for you to win." I was thinking, I'm a West Ham fan. I know what it's like to lose. I'm not looking for you to win. Then the next, I'm not looking for you to be right. Woo. What I'm looking for is you to be yielded. And that yieldedness, that being yielded, means who am I yielding to? And the only time that you can yield to something is when you hear their voice. And God says, this is the way I want you to walk in it. The weapons of my world are not the weapons of this world. God isn't looking for me to control people. The one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I can control myself. But I've spent most of my life trying to control others. And that includes my family. In my wife. I think my way's best. Thank God for sat-nav. Because we had countless arguments in our car. With my wife reading the map and turning it. I don't know why women do that, but they turn it. And then she would say, "Oh, look at that lovely house." And we've missed the turning. It, you know, give me the map. I've driven the car driving the map. Control is something that we love, isn't it? I don't know about you. God is not wanting me to control. He said, I want you to be yielded. And I'm really trying to do that. And so new wine. See, God's saying here, Jesus is saying here, you need new wine, but you also need the right skins to hold the new wine. Because if you put old wine into new wineskins, I understand, I've never tried it. I'm assuming Jesus is a wine expert. The skins explode. Sorry?
Other way around.
What?
Put new wine into old
wineskins. Yeah. Oh, sorry. So you put new wine, thank you. If you put new wine into old wineskins, it explodes. If you put old wine into new wineskins, it would... We don't know, do we? No. Anyway. I don't know. I'm just... You're right, though. We haven't got a clue, have we? But if you put, new wine into old wineskins, it explodes. And so I felt God wanted to say to you as a church, as a group, guys, I want to put new wine into you, And I want it to be in skins that are not going to explode. And I think for some of you who are still looking to the glory days of TCF, the danger is you're going to miss what God wants to do right now. Because I believe there is a hope and a future for you. And the word of God says, you know, doesn't it? It says, I know we misquote this scripture so often, because I hear, God knows the plans he wants. God's plans are not your plans. Yeah. That's the first thing I've learned. It took me 40 odd years to hear that my plans do not impress God. And sometimes he lets me do my plans. Countless times, and it goes wrong, and then I have the audacity to turn to God and say, well, where were you in these great moments of inspiration that I've had? I start to blame God because he didn't work to my plans. And I wonder, maybe one of the things that you need to break off yourself as a Christian community in Thurrock is to stop living out of the past. And as I was preparing this, I really felt God say, some of you are living under a cloud of disappointment because you were here when this place was full, when people were standing at the back, but those days have gone. There is a new day for you. And while you keep holding on to disappointment, God is not going to be able to release the new that he has for you. He wants to give you new wine. I believe that's spiritually discerned. I believe there's an invitation for you as a church to seek him. What is it? And as he reveals it, my encouragement to you is to allow the wineskin to be adapted to hold the new. As I was sitting here just in that wonderful time of worship and reflection, I was drawn to two things here, so I'm not telling you what to do, but I was drawn to these two coffee tables and I was drawn to those comfortable seats over there. And I was wondering if some of the new needs some transition around how you put the room out, how you adapt what you do, because the new, if we're not, firstly, the new can be offensive to those of us that have and live in the old mindset. Very interesting. I don't like books on Kindle. It's still a book. My mindset is, well, that's not what we did at school. That's not how we were taught. I still like DVDs. I built a whole collection of black and white films. And my daughter says, oh, Dad, you just get rid of your DVDs. You can get it on Netflix. I've been on Netflix. And I want to say, Went the Day Well is not on Netflix. But it is in my DVD collection. Get rid of all your books and everything. No, I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I grew up with these stuff. But in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, those of us that are old and have done church for donkey's years, we need to allow our mindsets to be renewed. And I want to speak that over you as a church. I believe there are some strong mindsets in this church that the Holy Spirit wants to break. And you might be looking around thinking he's speaking to Andy. He could actually be speaking to you right now. Because firstly, God doesn't ask me to look at everybody else. He says, how does this resonate with you? The other thing that in the text that I just want to pull out is that there's a danger of living it with a critical spirit. Because if you keep looking at, well, it wasn't like that in the old days. We had it packed. People were coming
And any time there's, well, we wouldn't have done that. I'm trying to think of it. Mike Godwood. Mike wouldn't have done that. Pete Butt wouldn't have done that. They're not here. They're not here. Those guys did what they did, led by the Holy Spirit, but they've gone. This is a new day. There is new wine God wants to pour on you, and your wineskin needs to reflect and value the new that God is doing. Beware of criticism. It never does you good. Disappointment will hinder what God wants to do. Jesus has never changed. He's still absolutely brilliant and amazing. He is the same yesterday and forever. If our inspiration comes from that back then, we're going to be disappointed. But I want to tell you, Jesus is more alive today, as alive today as he was 40 years ago. There are things to value, things that God has sown into this house. I was just very impressed with your scripture readings all around. I know this has been a place where scripture has been honoured. Value that. The things of the Spirit, value that. The pursuit of the miraculous, value that. The wanting to disciple people and see them grow, church beyond the community. You know, you do your food banks and you do your kids stuff, and you over the years you've done outreach, you've gone and blessed others. Value that. But I want to say to you, TCF, this is a new day. And new wine is coming. And if you want to see something of the miraculous supernatural workings of God, you guys need to discern what that might look like for you. The bridegroom and the bride. I think there's one of the things that I felt God lay on me for you guys, and I don't really know you that well. I believe God is saying this is a season to celebrate. There is a time to pray and fast, but the thing that you will gradually, as you connect with God, it's in the celebration, not in the beating yourself up. And I believe that some of you have beat yourself up because you don't feel you've done what has taken it on. I believe you need to stop putting on sackcloth and ashes over something that is no longer what God wants to do. This is a season to celebrate. I think you're in an Isaiah 61, 10 and 11 and Isaiah 62, 4 and 5 moment. I believe you're in a moment. And you can look at those texts. This is in the context of bridegroom. Arise, shine. For your light has come.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm rushing this because I know I've only got half an hour. Okay, so.
Don't rush it. You carry on.
This is fit in Isaiah 62, verse 2. It says, the nations will see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you will be called a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Yes. I believe righteousness will exalt a nation. Sorry.
Just keep going because you're right. You've come to the bit that's underlined in everyone's Bible.
So we're moving back. We're moving back to the text from Luke. You can also find this story in 9:14-17 and Mark 2:18-22. But there's this bit, and no one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. I believe that is not what Jesus is saying in this text. Rob is not coming here and saying, remember the old is better. No, I think what God wants to give you is new is going to be better than what you experienced in the old. Every generation builds on the revelation of the previous generation. This is your time to hear God for this area, for this church. Yes. I love the bit in verse 38. It says, no, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. It's not a, it could be better. Jesus is giving a real statement. No, new wine must be poured. That's a challenge for you in the leadership of this church. The danger is that some of you will still settle for the old wine because in your opinion it's still better. I don't believe that's what the text is saying. And as I was just trying to round this up, I was reminded of Isaiah 43 verses 18 to 19. And we can all kind of read this every year, can't you? But this is what I felt. Forget the former things. For some of you who have been here for a long time, that doesn't mean you don't thank God for them, but you need to forget some of them. Do not dwell on the past. I think there are people here who keep dwelling on the past. Every prayer meeting you come back, oh, in the good old days. And my mum and dad used to say that, in the good old days, they used to say, and I was always talking about the Second World War. Oh, well, as much. No, they say, oh, you'd have loved it. No, I don't need a doodle bug dropping on my house, thank you very much. Oh, there was a community spirit in the good old days. You had people who wanted to obliterate the United Kingdom. It's just how you look through the filter, isn't it? The good old days. My dad used to say that about football. Oh, in the good old days, when you had Stanley Matthews. He didn't like Wayne Rooney and he couldn't stand David Beckham. I remember. In the good old days, you know, my dad struggled. See, I'm doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing in TCF. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's not yet been be clear what it is, but he's doing a new thing. And you have a responsibility to build a structure, to build something that will push forward the generations to come. Because I want to say that this church is not finished. There's something new for you. Do you not perceive it? So it's something that's picked up in the spirit. Intimacy with the Father, Bible study, praying together, searching scripture. These are not things that we should kick out. Oh, let's kick out everything. No, no, no. The place for scripture is still key. You know, I've got to be careful what I say. I don't want to. But I know someone who said. It was something I was involved with. We put his name on one of the things I'm involved with. And this person had said, we need to reinterpret the Bible in the life of 21st century living. I want to suggest that that is not what God is asking us to do. Scripture is still Scripture. And if you want to know the mind of God best, Scripture is the best place you can find it. I believe in the Rhema and the Logos, but I want to just suggest that it needs to work with this. And then I just sense in Isaiah 43, there's this bit that there is for you and for us, but I'm trying to talk to TCF this today, not to anybody else. That where this new stuff is going to bring water in the desert.
Yes.
And around you as a church, there is a desert. There are thousands and thousands of people who are desperate for something better. They just don't know what it was. And they won't find it on Netflix. They won't find it in the celebrity culture. They will find it in one person. The water in the desert is found in Jesus Christ. The sent one, who we're going to celebrate in a few days, aren't we? He's going to bring water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And I just feel for you guys. That this is a new season. And this is a key moment for you as a church. And I want to cheer you on. Because I believe that like my father-in-law put on my mother-in-law's present many years ago, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Thank you.